I hear a girl dog, but that's your pussy whip. Why don't you reverse it? Don't be pussy whip. Whip that pussy. Look. Bang, 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 bang.
Break!
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have a beautiful roundtable jumping off tonight. Tonight's guests are Black Is team members, John and Triana Wood, Toria Williams, and special guests, Ivy Lindsay, who is an actor, and John Bird III of Sickly Cat Magazine. And tonight's topic is Dickmatized. How important is sex in a relationship? So Mr. Layman and I chose Dickmatized as the title of this particular podcast based off of a video that Jill Scott put out after her last album, and she was talking about being dickmatized, being so caught up in a situation with the sex that the rest of the relationship wasn't really given the attention that it was supposed to be given. And it got us to talking about the importance of sex in a relationship. I think I can speak for both of us, even though Chris is not here, he'll be here. Sex is highly important in our relationship. I think that's one of the things that we were very clear about in the beginning, one of the things that we connected on. And so it's not the most important thing, but I know neither one of us is happy if it's not happening. So it's very important.
This is John Wood. And is sex important in a relationship? Hell yeah, sex is important in a relationship. I mean, sex is something that if the chemistry is right, that is a constant source of entertainment for years to come. Many beautiful memories come out of that. I'm not going to get too deep into that.
Details.
The thing to, of course, keep in mind is that while sex is an important thing, within the context of a relationship, I think sex should always fulfill the function of bringing a couple closer together, not just physically, but in an emotional and a spiritual capacity, even. You can't have a relationship based off of sex. Well, you can, but a thing like that gets dysfunctional quickly. I mean, sex, like anything else to which you can become addicted, is a drug or a potential drug.
So and, is love.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would probably differentiate between true love and superficial love. I think people confuse love with infatuation. But you're right. I mean, you know, anything that you can get turned out on. But what addictions do is they distort your ability to perceive things or, I think, understand things as they are. And you don't ever want to confuse sex with love. But if love is real, then I think sex is a beautiful and harmonious thing to have as a part of that in the context of a truly unified and passionate relationship.
I agree with you, but you definitely have to grow to understand the differences, because I think as a younger woman, I definitely would confuse the two. So if sex was good, that meant I loved you. The older you get, you realize you don't have to have that kind of feeling for a person to have a good sexual experience with them.
I agree.
Right. Sometimes it might be the opposite.
Yeah, you have to disassociate the two, and then you'll be able to enjoy sex without love, and you know, I think you just have to disassociate love from sex.
This is John Bird.
This is John Calvin Bird III.
This is Triana. Sorry. As a younger woman, I didn't, you know, I was pretty much, I'm gonna get my kicks in while I can, and I wasn't telling nobody I loved them. That was just it. But as I got older, you know, learned a few things and how I saw other people getting hurt by what I was doing, I would say, okay, maybe I need to reassess myself a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, just be throwing it out there like that. And then, you know, as I grew emotionally and spiritually, you know, I learned that you have to incorporate love in something and you have to value it a little bit more than just be throwing it away like that.
I think that groups it together again, though. I think that if we don't associate it so strongly with love, then I don't think we will feel as if we've devalued the sex by eliminating love. You see what I mean? I don't think it's a
negative
thing. I understand
that, but I don't think that even when you try to disassociate the two, there's always a string. Whether you say it is or it's not, there's always that string that's there. You just don't realize it at the moment that you want to do your dirt.
Why is it dirt, though?
That's because, the thing. Because
you need to get away from the
negative. Because you're lying to yourself about it. You're lying to yourself when you say that it's not a string attached. It's always some type of either emotional or spiritual string attached to it.
That might be a gender divide.
Well, yeah, there's a certain extent to which I think men and women come at it from a somewhat different angle. But I think the fact remains, and even if you want to look at the science of the issue, I mean, when two people, when you copulate, you know, there's a psychological connection happening there. And I think the fact that you do have to, I mean, even if you are going to disassociate the emotional aspect of it from the physical aspect of it, I think that is something that you consciously have to do. And I think there's a certain numbness that you have to bring to bear on that to make that happen. So I understand John's point. But ultimately, I think in the long run, sex is at its most gratifying when it is coupled with that true emotional and spiritual fulfillment. And I think that that's the ideal that we should seek after.
I could agree with that, but I have a different take on it. I think when I was younger, I was probably given sex to get love. And as I got older, I got more comfortable with my sexuality and knew that it wasn't something I had to give. It was something that I could enjoy. And I think a lot of young women in our 20s, especially if we were kind of raised conservative, wait till you meet Mr. Right, don't give it up. You know, you kind of low-key are trying to get your freak on, but in the back of your mind, it's like, well, I'm going to do this because I think that'll turn him on. And I can say in my 30s, I'm way more comfortable with my sexuality. I can wake up and not feel like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. We're not going to be together. He's not walking me down the aisle kind of a mentality. So I think when I was younger, I had a more conservative approach to sex as opposed. I mean, sex is good as I got older. Because I'm enjoying it as well without this guilty conscious you know. And it goes back to the fact that I was less protective of myself. It was like, okay, he wants to have sex. I got to have sex. If I don't have sex with him, he's not going to want to be with me. And then you don't strap up because you're not mature enough. As I got older, it's like I'm comfortable in my sexuality. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's okay. It's a friend. It's somebody I connected to. It's not just random Joe on the street. But for me, getting older, I think I was better to embrace sexuality. And yes, it's definitely better when you're connected. But I agree with you, John. It doesn't necessarily have to be... you know, that
couple,
right. And that creates a lot of problems. It goes, when I think about like the STD rates and things like that, kids having sex under that idea of, in order for me to be a couple, gotta have sex and gotta have the sex the way he wants to, because the ultimate goal is to be a couple, and you might not get that.
Right. And it's interesting. I wish we had somebody at the table who was really young. I mean, all of us are pretty much in our 30s. or no, some people in their 20s, but like college age, because the college students that I have an opportunity to spend time with operate with sex very differently. And granted, college is that time a lot of folks wild out when it comes to sex, but they seem to be very, very casual, almost to the extreme in the casualness of it. It's not a negative at all. It's just how they're choosing to express themselves. And it's interesting. I think we probably all put a tad bit more thought into it. For them,
it seems...
a
sign of the times for them.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely don't need a connection.
No. It's like, almost like a kiss.
Let's get it in. You know, every song is like birthday sex, you know. Drop it low, you know. Lick you like a lollipop. So
it's just doing it to be doing it. It's sports sex.
And yes. It keeps you healthy.
But what about those guys who actually were too dorky to even get any pussy for the longest? Can I say pussy?
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
say
cool. This is Ivy Lindsay. I don't know. Sex is extremely important. I mean, that's the reason that you might stay or go sometimes. If the sex sucks, I don't know anyone who wants to stay. That sucks.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a problem with, like, I grew up in a highly religious family. Church of Christ, you know, like, we believed in heaven and hell, like, really, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that we had a tendency to shy away, you know. Like, I grew up in a family where sex was, you know, you wait until you're married, period. And because of that, I think a lot of members of the church ended up falling in love with people who they never had sex with.
I totally agree.
And then they got married and they had sex, but it wasn't what they expected. But they still love the person, and the love is stronger than the sexual connection. So then they're in this situation where, you know, they're not being gratified sexually, but they are truly and genuinely in love with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a horrible situation to be in.
Right.
Yeah. John and I grew up in the same church. You also had people who were quick to get married because so they physically, right. Yeah, they're just ready to have sex. And, you know, they're feeling like pressured because they want to have it, but you can't have it if you're not married. So you got a lot of folks quick to get married so they can have this experience, and then the relationship doesn't work. And so, you know, you have to decide growing up in that church how you were going to operate. Either you were going to follow it by the, you know, to the letter, or you weren't.
Right, to the detriment of certain marriages, I believe.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Wow.
Mm-hmm. How important is good sex in a relationship, though? Because
very important.
I mean, like, okay, so we're having sex and everything is fine, but like, I feel like we need to spice it up. There needs to be some interesting stuff happen. I mean, there's only so long you can do a few positions before it's like, this has been 6 months.
Oh, I have to share a video with y'all.
It's been 6 months.
A video.
No.
Google it.
Decline to speak now.
What's the video?
It's this yoga ball video. How to spice up your life with the yoga ball.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes, sir.
We might have to have that inserted onto the podcast. All those listening. Well, Ivy's question about how important is good sex. I think especially in long-term relationships, if you're in a marriage or a long-term commitment, spice is definitely important because you're talking years together and you're hoping to be together for decades. And so if you're just doing the same old 2-3 positions, that's going to get old before year one is out. So, but that's the agreement though between the two parties. If you have two people in a relationship that are equally as sexual, then that'll be what matters to them. If you have two folks who are not so sexual, it may not matter.
Yeah, but there's only so many positions you could do. I mean, if you get bored with sex, you're going to get bored with sex.
I have a book that can show you a position per day.
I'm sorry.
365 for a year.
Right. I mean, but at least half of those are the book? Exactly.
And now add the yoga ball.
And the video camera.
But see, this is why relationships over the long term, I mean, if you're talking about relationships that are really predicated off of sexual interaction, and that's just what it is, that's sort of a different category. But in the long term, committed relationship cannot be based on sex, because you guys are right. There are only so many positions.
Right.
If that's all it is, then, you know, you only twist your body so many different ways. I mean, eventually, plus you're going to get old. You ain't going to be able to throw your ankles behind your head like that.
Millie Jackson can. Millie Jackson says she could. She's 67.
Maybe Melanie can, but putting her out of it. No, but I mean, the what you get from sex at the end of the day that makes it really so phenomenal, if it's with, I think, if it's with the right person, is the fact that it almost doesn't matter where you do it, or, you know, just how much time you have or whatever. Maybe you're trying to get it in before the baby wakes up and starts crying again or something. Normally that wouldn't seem all that fun to most people, but if you're with the right person, a little thing like that is exciting. You know, it weaves itself into everything else in the relationship. Your whole life becomes foreplay, and that's awesome.
Right. You know? And those are the different positions. You know, positions doesn't necessarily have to be physical.
Right.
Different
exactly.
Positions might be us just turning it up, you know.
It's sex completely psychological, different. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's even more than it is a physical thing, it's a mental thing.
Right. So if it means getting it in before the baby wakes up, or on our way to work, to me, those are the different positions, you know, change location.
Did you say on the way to work?
Hey, do not judge.
You can do that. You just,
do not judge me.
If you have a driver, especially, you can.
No. Get creative.
There you go. No, yeah.
When will sex...
People going to be reading in between the lines on a whole bunch of stuff we say.
On this conversation. And there have not been any drinks.
So Toria does it on the way to work with the yoga ball. And records it. I want to see the video.
When I have 100 husbands lined up. We'll be right back.
If you like what you're hearing so far, make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online. Now, back to the show.
When will sex end a relationship?
When you're not getting it.
Or when you're doing it with somebody who's not your partner.
Absolutely. I think if you're not open, if you just want to be humdrum, you know, I'm going to always be missionary on my back, laying there, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, boredom is pretty poisonous. I mean, you got to be able to have fun, you know. There's got to be a playfulness to it. If that's not there, then... But I think that a lot of times, maybe not all the time, I'd have to think about it, but I think a lot of times that's a reflection of chemistry that was already missing from other parts of the relationship. Again, if you don't trigger the mental aspect of it, the physical part, I think, sort of disintegrates soon after, you know. But yeah, bad sex or just sex without a lot of passion in it, you know. When you get to that point where you're just going through the motions, then, you know, you got to reevaluate, I think.
I think, too, understanding that it's not going to always be sexual. I've heard, like, a lot of women say after they had kids, they weren't ready to have sex, you know, or they needed a break from it. So understanding where your partner is sexually, you know, that and not taking it personally, because as a woman to get rejected, we take it personally immediately, like, okay, then you must be out sleeping with somebody, you know, not taking it into consideration. Maybe he's stressed. Maybe, you know, he's about to get laid off. So that,
no, if it does not, if he doesn't want to have sex, he is sleeping with somebody. Take that. That's the first assumption you should have, and then you should. Once you eliminate that, then you can start talking about.
I say if that's ongoing, but the first time, no, I don't believe that. The first time your husband says no, not tonight, I wouldn't say that. That's because he's cheating. You would?
Yeah. Men like to have sex, and I mean, I'm saying there's a million other reasons. Maybe he just whacked off. Maybe I mean, there's a million reasons he wouldn't. But I'm just saying that's. I wouldn't eliminate that. I would start doing some research.
I wouldn't eliminate, but I wouldn't necessarily assume.
That's when right. You start like checking text messages.
Exactly.
Right, see, you gonna have some stuff started. Now you got to do it every time she asks.
Deal.
Dang, because John Byrd wouldn't said that. Now I got it.
Right. Don't ever say no.
Right. No denying your wives around here.
No.
That's interesting, though. That's interesting. So if a woman says no, what are we to believe then?
She's cheating.
Know. Is she legitimate? Well, is she legitimate?
I think we need a woman's perspective on that, because we're always going to assume that women work under the same auspices that we do. So if I'm, you know, if I'm not willing to have sex, I know it's because I either just had it with my hand or with another woman, or you know. So I think we sometimes assume that women think the same way we do, and that's wrong. So I have no idea what it means when a woman doesn't have sex or doesn't want to.
This is Triana. That goes back into just being open. Like, if you with your partner, you should just be open with them. You know, if I don't feel like doing it because I just, you know, ran 3 miles, then I had to tend to the kid and do whatever else the hell, right. I'm going to lay down and take a nap. Leave me alone.
Yeah, a toddler is a libido killer.
Straight up. And it's like, you know, but it should be vice versa. You know, if I'm telling you why I don't feel like it and you owe me that explanation if you don't want to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Could have something on my mind. You know, might be stressing about something and be like, not right now.
Question, because John Wood brought this up. Is sex as much of a mental thing for men as it is for women? Because I think, I know for me in the past, if mentally I didn't have a stimulation, physically it'd be hard for me to really make that connection. Even if the sex physically felt good, I still was just like, this is... not it.
Well, okay, look, with that, men are much quicker, I think, to be ignited visually and physically, you know. But to keep a man's interest for a long time, it has to become, I think, your mind does have to be engaged at a certain point. Okay. Because some women are like this, but particularly men, I know, because I'm a man. You know, it doesn't matter how good looking a chick is. I should say chick, a woman. No matter how good looking a woman is, if you can have sex with her, you know, maybe twice, three times, five times, 12 times. But after a while, you're just gonna be like, I think I want to go back to, you know, strawberry or vanilla or chocolate, whatever other flavor you think about. You know, if there's something that's not more psychologically engaging there, you know, that keeps you thinking about it or going back, you know. But if that part of it is there, that's when you start thinking, man, I might be in love, because it's not about sex anymore. Or even if the sex is great, it's kind of beyond that at this point. So it becomes this mental thing. Women, on the other hand, maybe they sort of start off there. And maybe that's sort of the difference with men and women to some extent. Women can tell me.
Special guest John Neely just grabbed the mic.
I tell my friends all the time about the Holly Berry effect.
Yeah.
So Holly Berry, excuse me, for a while, Holly Berry men were always cheating on her. Why? It's Holly Berry. I would never cheat on Holly Berry if I had Holly Berry. However.
You never had Holly Berry.
Yeah. However, I equate when I was younger, every time I would sleep with a woman, first time I meet her, oh man, she's super fine. The more and more you sleep with her, she all right. So if I ask David Justice, how she all right. But to me, she's super fine. It's kind of like I equate to when you buy a car and you roll it off the lot and the value just drops.
New versus exactly. What you're accustomed to.
I guess that's why you gotta
spax
it out.
Well, I guess this is Ivy Lindsay speaking. I think that is the reason why it is important to have some type of mental connection with somebody so that it doesn't burn out. Or because sometimes somebody can do something and you don't really know a person, and they do something one day, you're like, damn, I didn't know you were even that cool. Let's fuck. Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, you know what? I didn't even know you were that sexy. I didn't even know you cleaned up that well. That's why it's good to have a connection with somebody to make you want to see them again. Or keep seeing them for some other reason so that you can learn all these different reasons to be attracted to them. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah. Right. Some logic to that.
Just get right to the point. Right. Do it.
Ladies, can we answer John Wood's question? Because I guess it's technically my question. Like, do we have the same sort of response to men as they do to women? I feel like the physical is very, very important. Not really having sex for a woman, doesn't matter how much of a mind fuck you can provide, if I'm not attracted to you, it's not going to work. But I will say this, there have been men who at first glance, I was like, I'm cool. And then after a conversation, I'm like, oh shit. So, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of situation can occur.
That happens for men too.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Probably a little easier for men too. I mean, you know, we're always right at the cliff. You know what I mean? Something to push us over.
See, that's what I mean. Are women really always right at the cliff like that? Because I understand what John means when he says right at the
cliff. Depends on where you are in life, I think.
I feel like if you guys were like that constantly, I mean, I know women go through their phases. Men, like John's saying, we're always pretty much at the cliff. You know, you got to pull us back. You know?
Right.
Women, I feel like if women were like that, they'd be as easy as men, which they're not.
Some are.
Some are.
And I think it depends on where you are in your life at a certain point.
I don't know, though. I mean, this is Triana again. But, like, even, a few years ago, before I ever met him, before I ever met my husband, you know, I always had barriers, you know? If you wasn't willing to work with me and meet me halfway through those barriers, it wasn't happening. That's just it.
I think when I was younger, it's so funny, though. I've been in the same relationship for so long. I guess Chris has had to go through all of these, like,
stages
as my boyfriend and then as my husband. I think younger, it was definitely a lot more challenging. Like now, it's not so much.
Yeah.
Not that the challenge doesn't present itself, you know, but I mean, it's why am I speaking? I'm not dating. Y'all talk.
So you're saying Chris is easy? You can get him whenever you want.
Have him whenever I want. No, we Chris and I have a good time. That's all y'all need to know.
Yeah. Again, I think it's at what point you're in your life when you're on that cliff where, you know, you might not be looking for anything. It took me, you know, you go through stages and you're like, I want a relationship. I want to do this. I want to get married and all these things. So you're holding out. But your body takes over sometimes and all that doesn't even matter. And you're comfortable. I think it becomes with maturity. Like when you grow into a comfortable stage in your life, you can most definitely like, oh yeah, you know, I like the way you smile. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all the time, Mm-hmm. But I think women, I don't think men think we are that open.
We don't. No.
I don't think
I don't think this is Ivy Lindsay. I don't think men want to think that women are like that because right. it actually takes off your hard on because you're like, you kind of want to be with this innocent virgin so that you could be the only one that's ever really did her because it would be like, it would mess with you if you could think about, oh man, everybody, you know?
Is she like that with everyone?
Yeah, you need that. Something about you needs, like, it takes away that conqueror vibe that you can get going on. You know what I mean? You want to conquer, but you can't conquer if she's already been conquered.
Or she's conquering you.
Or she's conquering you. Or that you know you could be conquered. You know what I mean? It would trip you out. So that's my thing.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break and spend a moment with the king of sarcasm. Here's a word from the player hater.
I totally forgot to bring this up last night. It's interesting. When I've had conversations with men and we've talked about pussy, men will tell me, you know, pussy is different. There are women who will be like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand why this man cheated.
I've had this conversation too.
Okay.
I know where you're going with it.
Okay.
And not all pussy is the same.
Right.
Pussy is different. Yeah, pussy is different. Yeah, it is. I mean, so I don't know where exactly you were going as far as if you had a question or not, but I'm just letting you know, not all pussy is the same.
I think, I was thinking the power, whatever power that pussy has, one of the people at the podcast said this last night, and he was calling it the Holly Berry effect. He was like, when you see somebody, a woman who you first met, you've never slept with her, and you're chatting like, fuck, she's fine. He's like, every time you sleep with her, it's like she gets less and less fine. And it's not that she's really getting less and less fine, but you've just adjusted to who she is. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I've had conversations with my female friends, and when we talk about sex and somebody gets what we call a platinum tip, and you start fucking around with a dude with a platinum tip, that platinum tip will have you fucked up because now you're not thinking straight when you're interacting with this man. And I think there are men who are aware that they are gifted in bed somehow, some way. And those men are really not checking to settle down. It's almost like they know they have this special gift, so to speak. I guess I'm wondering how many women operate from that same place.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. I was just going to take it there. And I think it's almost... there's this belief that pussy has power, which is true. But not all pussy is powerful. That's the difference.
Right.
Pussy has power in general. Generally speaking, yeah, pussy does have power. I don't relinquish my power to pussy ever because I know not all pussy is the same. This is like you said with the beautiful chick. Like, you visualize, the dude may visualize your chick. Oh, man, she is so fine, nice ass, she's beautiful, or whatever. Whatever beauty to him is. Okay, she possesses all of that. But when you fuck her, doesn't mean that pussy's going to be good. Doesn't even mean it's going to be powerful. It's just pussy until you determine, you know, if it's good for you. Because all pussy's different. I can fuck a beautiful chick who may not move the way I want, who's stiff, who's, you know, just not good.
Right.
And that's my perception of her changes. Because she doesn't embody everything that I want, sexually and otherwise, as far as a compatible chick, you know? It's not just about sex. It's about just everything that's involved with it. But, yeah, so, again, pussy has power, but not all pussy is powerful.
Okay. That's interesting. That was my question. I'm like, does every woman have their own power? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or is it just that some are good to some men and some are not so good?
I think just across the board, we've already, not me, I think most people have attributed the fact that women have the power because they possess the pussy, which is the ultimate goal for most straight dudes.
Men,
they want. So therefore, by default, they have some power.
Right.
It just depends on how much power you give them with that tool that they have no control over. They just happen to possess it, trust me. If that pussy was anywhere else and we could get it, we wouldn't even fuck with y'all. But they just happen to possess this thing that most men love. And most dudes are put up with all types of shit just to get that one thing. They don't care about y'all that much. Really, we don't care about y'all all that much. We just want to fuck you. We want to see if this pussy right here is powerful enough to keep me around. If it is, then fine. I'm still going to fuck around, but I'm going to fuck around with you for a little bit longer. But I'm still going to fuck around. But if it ain't, then I ain't going to fuck around with you no more. Plus, I'm going to fuck around with other chicks.
Oh, my God. Single ladies, please take notes.
And that's why I say this, Casey. Let me say this. I'm not one of those dudes, but I am one of those dudes in a way to where I'm going to fuck around. Not in a committed relationship, but if we just fucking, I'm honest enough to let you know that this is what it is. See, that's what separates me from other dudes. That's why I say I'm a true realist all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm not for everybody. Not all chicks are going to appreciate me, even though they should.
Make sure you check out The Player Hater at his website and listen to his podcast, which can be found at www.theplayerhaterpodcast.com. Now, back to our show.
Yeah, I guess there is that sort of, for some guys, and I think that's also somewhat of a societal construct, too. I'm not
it is.
Sure,
I agree, 100%.
You know, to have that innocent, demure sort of woman.
We like sleeping with sluts, too, every once in a while. That's true. You know what I mean? Then your homie be like, dude, she is the bomb. Like, you know, then you start spitting.
It happens. Yeah, I was watching this thing on the History Channel the other day about one of the last emperors of Rome. And I guess it was a rule for a while that the emperor could only marry people perhaps of certain bloodline or social status. But he went to the club one night and saw this club, whatever the hell they had.
The ball.
It wasn't no ball. He went to a striptease is what he went to. And and there's this one woman, God, what's her name? My history is really bad today. But she stripped, she did her dance, she had a very popular routine. No idea what exactly she did. History Channel didn't want to give you all the details. But suffice to say, this emperor, Justinian, I think, he went and he changed the rules the next day. They were married in a week. You know? He was like, no, this is my empress. This is who I want. You know? A man can, and like women, you know, women have, I think, it's kind of like Phantom of the Opera. There's like Raoul, who women have the side of them where they want the prince charming, the noble, you know, gentleman. And then there's the Phantom, who's the dark, seductive, you know, sort of bad, but, you know, bad boy effect, you know. And it's just different sides of the human mind. So men have that in their own way. Women have that in their own way.
Yeah, because the whole story of the emperor just brought to mind for me, like, strip clubs. You know what I'm saying? Male strip clubs and female strip clubs. The dancers in there that are the most talented are making money hand over foot. And you're not sleeping with them.
Right.
But just them presenting sex and looking like sex and stimulating you is enough for you to make it rain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hate strip clubs.
Really? Theodora, honestly, that was her name. Google it.
Anyway. It seems so counterintuitive. Like, why would you go to this place and get teased?
You can get it at home.
Paid to get teased.
Yeah, he would agree with you.
It doesn't make any sense.
I was at a male strip club, and he actually said that the men make more money than the women. Because
men are cheap.
Right.
He said it because I was going to say
Yeah, because, men are cheap, but no. Because the average man has that kind of perspective, like, why would I pay for it when I know I might have a wife that can do it or a girlfriend that will do that? Because women, we are playful, we do that. Very, very unlikely that our man is like, baby, you know, baby oiled up, coming through.
Got
with
a tassel,
in a rotation, you know.
And there's not that many male strippers in comparison to female strippers. So you got like one spot, and that's where everybody is going.
Are there any straight male strippers? Or?
Shout out to the Right Track.
There are?
Right Track. Absolutely.
But there should be. There should be like you should be doing the most. Like you should be doing. I know Cisco is kind of on the borderline funny. At least I don't know what his personal life is. And I know he's a throwback to bring into this future conversation. But aww, if you do,
you just dated yourself.
Yeah, really, whatever, whatever. But in reality, if you could do that dance, it might help you. I think Prince, as feminine as he was, all that dancing and splitting and all that other stuff, I think that helped his whole situation out. I think that gave him some fans.
I need to feminize my swag then.
That's what I'm saying. Bring a little Metro up. You know what I mean? Metro it out.
But see, now it's so different because, like, in the strip clubs, they have, like, Gangsta D, and he comes out, like, in Chucks and then strips. You know? I'm not lying. I swear to God. You know? They play these different roles. So you might get the little gangster. They're not all, you know, pretty boy, whatever you want to say. It's all different.
So they're gonna
qualities, yeah.
They're like
Bo Diddley.
Just make sure you
that's the name. Bo Diddley.
Don't just come in the house. Just dance for it. Do something for it.
We ain't gotta work for it. I wanna come home from work. My wife is butt naked on the bearskin rug with food ready.
Caveman. Caveman.
Newspaper, slippers.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. John Burr.
Why we got married in the first place?
John Burr just dated himself.
Look, this is Mr. over here. Like,
I've been lied to.
He just climb on top of me, do his business. For him to say
that?
Amen.
Can't you see? Can't you see John doing just that, carrying like a moose through the door or something? Like, I got dinner. What you got?
Exactly.
Can we enjoy this too?
here's a very real question, and we might put a certain company out of business with this one, but I honestly just want to set the record straight. Men, should your woman bother to put on that lingerie? Should she do her Apollonia 6, put on the garter, put on the bustier?
Yes,
is it worth it to set that vibe?
It's fun. Yeah.
Okay, because I've heard otherwise. I had a brother actually say lingerie is like lingerie is like parsley on the plate. I don't need it.
Yeah, but I mean, we all like to unwrap our gifts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I think after a while, it just becomes more of a game or something just to do, just because you feel like doing it or you want to feel better about it.
Yeah. I wonder at some point, does it become more fun for the woman than the man? Like you just like to put it on.
Maybe, I don't know, because I think women get stuck in the mindset of thinking you're not supposed to wear lingerie and pretty underwear until you get a man.
Which is not true.
Which is not true. You know, this old lady was like, you walk different when you wear pretty underwear. So I think women shouldn't wait till they get a man to start dressing it up. Like, that's where your sexual... You should be dressing up even if you're going home by yourself.
Because
you know?
If you're comfortable in your own skin, you're going to have more confidence, and that's going to attract way more men than not.
Yeah. And that'll keep your husband, you know, like, bed doing this.
Just don't switch it up.
Baby, stop looking at yourself and get in the bed.
That mirror was for me.
Yeah, I have that problem all the time. I'm so sorry. I love myself.
Well, anybody have anything to say in summation? Well, we thank you for checking in with us. Please be sure to check in to the next Black Is Break. Peace.